What do you say, everybody? With Tony Tsoukalos, I'm Mick Gillespie, and you are hanging out with us here on Bama Insider and the Bama Insider YouTube page. We're Alabama's rival site, and every Monday night we get together to talk about the Crimson Tide. This is Monday Night Quarterback, and what a show it normally is, and we hope to provide a great show for you today. So as you hang out, give us a thumbs up, subscribe to our channel. It's just crazy how this thing has just gotten bigger and bigger, and more of you guys have logged on, or maybe you're listening right now. Maybe you are listening to our podcast available at Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We really can't thank you enough for being part of what we do here, and that's cover the Alabama Crimson Tide. So on the show today, we're going to get into the 8A game that's coming up on Saturday. I want to remind all of you, too, that I'll be at Innisfree this Friday night from 6 to 8 to record the Bama Insider Tailgate Show. That's actually what brought me to the site, and I'm excited about doing this show. It's an Alabama football pregame show. As you know, we'll be at Innisfree from 6 to 8. You can listen to the show if you miss it live on Jocks 2, which is 100.5 Birmingham and Tuscaloosa. You can also, same spot, download the podcast, and we really appreciate you guys being part of what we do. So let me bring in Tony Tsoukalos. You can see him. He's sitting right there. But he's our beat writer. He covers Alabama on a daily basis. Again, I'm Mick Gillespie. Great to have all of you with us. It's time to start talking about this 8A game, Tony. We know that things are going to heat up Saturday. We're going to get an opportunity. 50,000 fans are able to go to the game. That's half capacity, maybe a little under half, but at Bryant-Denny Stadium. The weather's great today. It just feels like football to me. I can smell it.
Yeah, if we get weather anything like today in Tuscaloosa, it'll be a great 8A because that was perfect. And bright sunny skies, and I'd love that for 8A. But it's going to be nice to see 50,000 people in Bryant-Denny. Hopefully we get that crowd, and we're able to, you know, get somewhat of back to normalcy, I guess, you know. And, man, we didn't get an 8A last year, so it'd be just nice to have an 8A this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's starting to feel like things are going back to normal again, although, you know, COVID's still a real thing, and get vaccinated. I'm actually scheduled to do it on Wednesday. So get the process started. You know, if there's not a reminder bigger than having to say farewell to our buddy Fluff, who, you know, unfortunately passed away and was buried yesterday because of COVID, I don't know what is. I mean, you know, it's crazy what's going on with COVID-19. The good news is I feel like we're kind of getting to the end of it. We have vaccines and, you know, we know how to handle it. But, you know, it's still a real thing, and we'll be dealing with it for a while longer, you know, just the way that things are. But the good news is the numbers are going down, and then we're starting to get back to normal life in the state of Alabama. There's no more mask mandate. Although I got to admit, I do wear the mask sometimes, but the mandate's gone, and, you know, we're starting to move forward. And this 8A game coming up on Saturday is a great reminder that football season is just around the bend, and the Crimson Tide will be one of the top teams in the country, the defending national champs. And this 8A game is really interesting to me, Tony, because of the quarterback battle. You know, this is a rare year where you talk quarterbacks. Bryce Young, we think it's a battle, right? But Bryce Young, from what I'm hearing, has come in, and, I mean, he's just kind of taken the bull by the horn. You see Paul Tyson in that graphic. Give us the latest on what's going on with Alabama's quarterbacks.
Yeah, I actually don't know if it is really much a battle anymore. You know, you look at the way that Nick Saban talks about Bryce Young, and he's definitely talking about him being the man. I think he wants to see that confidence. And I think the team's kind of rallied behind Bryce Young as the starting quarterback. You know, I think he came into the spring as the real heavy favorite, and he was going to, you know, need a poor spring to kind of lose the job. Well, he's had the opposite. I think by our sources, he has like 7 touchdowns through the first 2 scrimmages, and he's looked well. He's done pretty well. Obviously, there's been, you know, some troubles with the offensive line, so that's made his job a little bit harder. But I think he's done pretty well from what we've heard, you know, through our sources at both scrimmages and in practice, and obviously what Nick Saban has had to say about him and his teammates as well. So I think this is Bryce Young's team now. I think he's, you know, I think this spring is really important for him because it allowed him to get that confidence. And I think it's going to translate well into the fall when he's really going to have to take the bull by the horns, like you said, and kind of take over for Mac Jones. So I think, you know, when you look at Bryce Young, he did everything that you would want him to do this spring. And it's just going to be nice to see him kind of do that, you know, for the A-Day game. We'll see what he does with the spotlight on him this time. See ya. Well, Mick.
Mac, just keep talking.
Mick, yeah, you left me hanging, but yeah.
You were in the middle of something. Like, I don't know what just happened there, but yeah. Let's get into the offensive line a little bit. He's Tony Tsoukalos, and I'm Mick Gillespie. We're talking about quarterbacks at Alabama and the fact that Bryce Young has kind of stepped up into that role as being the go-to guy.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, he really has. It seems like he's got the confidence of his teammates. He's doing well in scrimmages. We didn't get to see a lot from him during the season. And the reps we did see, we said this before, they were kind of different. They were kind of situational. They were, you know, you hand the ball off twice and then throw on third and long. And those are not really the most conducive place to success. Also, you know, you've got a young quarterback that's trying to make his way and then try to impress and maybe trying a little too hard at times. I think now, you know, he should have the confidence to know that this is his offense, and we should see him kind of execute better than we saw in the fall. I think that'll be something that, you know, I'm looking for to see how he's doing. And, you know, how does he handle the pressure? I mean, obviously he's going to have some pressure on the pass rush because this Alabama pass rush is pretty good and the offensive line is kind of struggling a little bit. So let's see how he handles that. Let's see how composed he is in front of possibly 50,000 people and obviously a TV audience. And there's nothing that I've heard that would suggest that he's not going to knock it out of the park, though.
Let's talk about the offensive line a little bit. You brought it up, mentioned that the offensive line's been scrambled. We've seen some of these five-star guys. Tommy Brockemeyer's gotten an opportunity. What's the latest on Evan Neal? He was the guy that I felt like coming into this season, and look, we still have a long way to go before the season starts, but if you asked me who's the rock of the offensive line, I would have said Neal, and is he injured? I mean, that's kind of the feeling I get.
Yeah, he picked up an injury. We don't know the severity of it or if he's going to be able to, you know, practice. Obviously, Alabama's going to be super careful with him. So if it's at all a risk, it's not worth playing in the A-Day game. But when you look at this offensive line, you know, Evan Neal's a returner. Emile Ekier Jr. is a returner at guard. And I guess you could maybe call Chris Owens a half returner. He came in for Landon Dickerson at center in the playoff. And then he also filled in at right tackle for Evan Neal against Arkansas. But other than that, he's kind of new himself. He's had some starts the last 2 years. So let's go ahead and call him a returning starter. So you got three guys, but there's still two spots open. And then plus you didn't have Emile Ekier Jr. this spring. He's out with an injury. And now it looks like, you know, you're without Evan Neal. So you really only have that quote unquote half starter with Chris Owens. And you got a lot of inexperienced guys all around him. And then you're going up against sometimes, you know, when it's ones on ones, you're going up against what I feel like is going to be one of the best, you know, front sevens in college football. So that's a lot to ask for some of these young guys that are coming in. And it's not just the starters that are out too. I mean, Javion Cohen picked up an injury. Pierce Quick is a guy that I think that could, even though he missed this spring, he's a guy at guard, I think, that can probably compete for a role in the fall, depending on how, you know, quickly he progresses. So Alabama's just kind of a little bit shorthanded. And so I think when you look at the A-Day game, it's going to be easy to say, oh, man, the sky is falling with the offensive line. I don't necessarily think that's going to be the case. Even if Alabama's defensive line totally dominates Alabama's offensive line, you kind of got to look at where the offensive line is right now. And I don't think it's at full strength. And I think Nick Saban said it best when he said that, you know, when Alabama has all its guys in place and everyone's healthy, they're going to have a pretty good line. And I think the other thing you should add to that too is guys like Tommy Brockemeyer, like you said, or JC Latham. These are five-star kids that just need to learn the system a little bit more. And once they get, you know, integrated in, I think that just adds more depth. There's too much talent at Alabama's offensive line to really get concerned about it this early. So despite what you might see on Saturday, because I'm kind of bracing the audience, just the way Alabama's defensive front seven is so good and, you know, the kind of transition that Alabama's offensive line is, it might look ugly at times, but I wouldn't hit the panic button no matter what you see during the A-Day scrimmage.
Well, I feel like this, I mean, just as you know, a watcher, you know, an observer, a fan, that this opportunity to get a lot of reps could really help Alabama as far as depth goes, right? I mean, the fact that here's Brockmeyer was in high school last year and he's thrown right into the fire.
Yeah, definitely. Guys like, you know, Damian George, you know, they're guys that are getting first team reps that weren't getting first team reps before. So whether or not a guy like Damian George or, you know, Tommy Brown or, you know, anybody that's coming in at one of the guard spots, whether or not they earn, you know, Kendall Randolph first team reps in the fall as a starter, they're still going to get this opportunity. And so let's say there's an injury that goes down, you know, midseason. Well, now Alabama has guys that have had a lot of first team experience, and, you know, so it's going to be beneficial not only for, you know, this year, but, you know, you're getting more experience. You're picking things up faster. And I think, you know, eventually that you'll look back at this period and it could be somewhat of a godsend, because look, guys like Emile Ekiyor Jr., he's been in the system. Evan Neal's been a starter for 2 years. So like, he knows everything he needs to know about the offensive line. I don't think he's necessarily like hurting for reps. So to get these young guys more reps, I think that's going to be beneficial. So it's going to be something that's going to help Alabama down the road.
What's Nick Saban said, or has he commented at all about the situation with the offensive line and the injury?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think he kind of is saying that, you know, it is what it is right now. They're going to try their best to get people in, but they're shorthanded. And I don't think he's panicking right now, because I think he knows that when everyone's there, when it gets more healthy and the talent he has, it's going to be, they're going to figure it out this fall. It's just injuries. And then you already had three starters leaving. It's just not a pretty situation for Alabama, but it is what it is. And I think that Alabama's just trying to make the best of it.
He's Tony Tsoukalos. I'm Mick Gillespie. Great to have you with us here on the Bama Insider YouTube channel, Alabama's rival site, as we talk about this football team getting ready for their spring game that's coming up Saturday at Bryant-Denny Stadium. And Alabama trying to answer some questions. One of them would be quarterback. Another one would be offensive line. Let's talk about the guys that Alabama's offensive line would be blocking. But before that, I ask you to do us a big favor. Give us a thumbs up. Subscribe to our channel as you sit here and hang out with us tonight. It's that easy and it's free, and we appreciate it. If you drop us a super chat, we'll get right to it and answer that question. Also, all of you that are commenting in the comment section, we appreciate you guys hanging out with us as well. So let's talk about the Alabama pass rush. Last year, they won the national championship, and when the defense got pressure on the quarterback, it made them really tough. And as the season went on, they got better at it. Who are the players to keep an eye on, and what's Alabama's pass rush going to look like?
Well, the number one player I circle when I look at Alabama's front seven is Will Anderson Jr. He's, you know, won freshman of the year last year, had led the nation's freshman with seven sacks. And I think he's probably the most talented player, maybe not even on Alabama's defense, but maybe the Alabama's whole team. I think he's a future kind of high end first round pick. He's a pass rusher that, you know, can really get after the quarterback. And I think you're just going to see him progress even more this season. He's been a terror from what we've heard, you know, during the scrimmages and during practice. He's really hard to block. You know, I know a few years ago, Nick Saban, you know, during halftime of the A-Day game, said that Tim Williams was just ruining the scrimmage. I think there's a chance that Will Anderson could ruin A-Day just with his ability to just continuously get in the backfield. So you look at him. You also look at Christopher Allen, who led the SEC in tackles for a loss last season. You know, so you got one of those bad dudes at each side. That's really tough to block. There's not as much star power on the defensive line per se. You got LeBryan Ray, but you don't have that, I don't know, like that Quinnen Williams, that star power, but you've got so many just established veteran guys that you kind of think one of those guys is going to break out. You got DJ Dale, Justin Aboigbe, LeBryan Ray. You got guys like Phil Mathis, Tim Smith. So, I mean, like, you've got guys that, you know, can plug in, can provide some push up front. I think they're going to be set there. And then at the middle, you've obviously got Christian Harris, who's going to be kind of the quarterback of this unit, of the defense. He's going to kind of – it looks like he might be stepping in for Dylan Moses. And right next to him, you got Jalen Moody, who could also be, you know, the quote-unquote quarterback of the unit as well, a veteran guy that, you know, was kind of a I think we had him as a two-star prospect or something like that at Rivals. And he's obviously made his way and right now is in the first team for Alabama. So Jalen Moody and Christian Harris, it's a pretty nice little duo in the middle as well. Shane Lee, you could throw him in there as a guy that's a pretty big difference maker as well.
This defense comes back with just so much experience and momentum too. And the fact that they lost a couple of guys or they will to the NFL draft, the secondary, some guys trying to step in there, but overall, do you feel like this could be the best defense in the SEC?
It definitely has the potential. I mean, there's not a lot of holes. They only lost one starter in each, you know, each third of the defense, right? So you lose Dylan Moses, you lost Christian Barmore, and you lost Patrick Surtain. Well, all three of those guys are, you know, NFL players next year. But if those are the only three that you're really losing, there's a lot of depth around those guys. And so I personally expect this defense to be great. I think when you look back at Alabama's, you know, past defense statistically, and I'm not sure it's going to match that. I don't think any defense could match that. I think the game's just played a little bit different. It's about faster pace. Obviously, Alabama's offense is different, so it's going to put its defense on the field more just by scoring. But I think in terms of talent, in terms of ability, like we said, to rush the passer, I think you're going to see – I'd be surprised if this defense doesn't force a lot of turnovers just because you got those guys like Chris Allen and Will Anderson rushing the passer. They're going to force a lot of, you know, error throws, and they're also going to get a lot of sacks as well. So I think Alabama's defense is going to be pretty deadly. Will it give up more points than past Alabama defenses that have been just as elite? Probably, just because that's the way the game is played. But I expect it to be every bit as elite as some of those other great ones that we look back on.
He's Tony Tsoukalos. I'm Mick Gillespie. We are talking about Alabama football. The Crimson Tide gets ready to play the Crimson Tide. It's an 8A game. It's an annual scrimmage where Alabama's Crimson take on Alabama's White at Bryant-Denny Stadium. This has been a game over the years, Tony, that has meant a lot to the program. And we'll never forget when Nick Saban arrived and it was a sellout, and that really led Alabama to the run that they're in right now, the excitement around the program, it helped them recruiting. So don't take anything for granted that this 8A game is taking place. And after COVID, people are going to be excited to get back in the stadium. That's on Saturday, April 17th. Give us a thumbs up and subscribe as you hang out with us tonight. That's a way that you can say Roll Tide to us as we talk about this Crimson Tide football team. All right, we talk about the guys that left, but let's talk about some of the new guys and the freshmen on this Alabama team. Are there any freshmen to watch, guys that you feel like we should keep an eye on that will be our first glimpse at them in an Alabama uniform?
I think you definitely want to see the wide receivers. You know, I think when you're looking, I want to see Ajee Hall. He's a guy at the beginning of the spring that we heard some about. Obviously Christian Leary as well. Like Alabama loses two first round picks, probably two top 15 picks in Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle. So they're going to need to replace that. Nick Saban said he wants a little bit more speed in the unit. So I want to see how Leary performs in the slot. You know, can he be dynamic? Can he be that guy that steps in and really injects speed back into this, this offense? Because Christian Leary is, you know, one of the fastest, if not the fastest recruit in this year's class. So having that track star speed kind of replaces what they had in Henry Ruggs and Jalen Waddle. So that'll be exciting to see. I think obviously you look too at the offensive line, right? We're going to get to see Tommy Brockermeyer. We're going to get to see JC Latham. And those are guys that can compete for those starting spots at tackle. And, you know, so it might be a little bit, they might still be getting things together and the offensive line still might still be a work in progress, but it's still going to be really fun to watch those guys and kind of see how they handled the spotlight too of potentially making their first impression, you know, for could be like their first audition, maybe, for a starting role this fall.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, and there's some spots in that unit. I mean, whether you're a true freshman, you talk about the offense and Hall and what he brings to the table, Leary's speed. The other area there that you really have to get into, kind of, you know, you talk about offense and guys to watch. What about the return game as Alabama tries to replace Jalen Waddle, which they did last year, right? We saw Smitty back there. Jaleel Billingsley, the tight end, was back there returning kicks. Who do you think we're going to see as the breakout returner for Alabama? And then I'm going to transition into breakout returners as far as guys that are coming back. So it's the same question twice.
Yeah, so we'll start on the special teams version of that question. I think, you know, Keelan Robinson is the name I think you'd watch. You know, he's the juice guy, right? He's the guy that provides a little bit of burst in the backfield. Obviously, he opted out last year. I think he's a guy that, you know, could do really well in the kickoff return. Nick Saban talked a little bit about Xavier Williams also having that role. We've also heard that Thayu Jones-Bell has been back there on both punt return and kick return. So he's a guy to watch, a kind of a receiver that kind of gets looked over a lot, but he's somebody that could make a difference. And then obviously Slade Bolden too, as a punt returner. I mean, he did pretty effective in that job. I think he'd probably be the favorite to land that punt returner role at the minute, like where we stand right here. I think obviously when we head into the fall, JoJo Earl, a freshman that's coming in the fall, he's somebody that could probably compete in that realm of being a punt returner or being a kick returner. So there's a nice little mix there for Alabama. They got a lot of guys to work with. But right now, I'd say the biggest one that I would look at is probably Keelan Robinson. I just think he's so dynamic. You want to get him the ball in special teams and kind of allow him to use that speed.
And let's talk about returners to Alabama. How about Brian Robinson? We were talking about the offensive line and the fact that Alabama's having to use different players that haven't had a lot of college experience in this football game, dealing with some injuries. But one thing that really helps the offensive line is having a guy like Brian Robinson at running back, where he's going to know who to block. You feel a lot more comfortable having him in there than a freshman. I mean, you may be a great runner, but if you miss your block on a pass play or even on a run play, it really could destroy the actual play and the game plan itself. And that's something that Nick Saban has always talked about and pays close attention to. So the guys that are coming back, the returners, as far as not kickoff returners, but just returners to the team, who do you think is going to have or could potentially have a breakout season?
Well, let's talk about Brian Robinson, because it would be a breakout season. I think when you look at him, he offers so much experience to the unit. Obviously, you got a guy like Keelan Robinson, but he's been away from the team. I think you need that veteran presence in Brian Robinson. So I like what he brings just from like a leadership aspect, not only to the running backs, but also maybe to Bryce Young. You got a young and experienced quarterback back there. It might be a nice little guiding force to have a guy right beside him in the shotgun that kind of makes sure that his head's on straight, you know, at least early on. And you talked about, you know, picking up those blocks. That's going to be big. I think you're going to see Brian Robinson want to become more of a feature back. So he's going to have to contribute more in the receiving game and as a pass blocker. And so I think he's really trying to take his game to that next step. One player that, you know, his name keeps on standing out in these scrimmage reports that we see is Cam Latu, the tight end, you know, originally outside linebacker converted to a tight end. Look, when you look at Alabama's tight end group, it's not the sexiest unit on paper. It's kind of, you'd look at it as the weak spot of the offense. But Cam Latu, I think, you know, has 3 touchdowns, according to our sources, through the last 2 games or the last 2 scrimmages. If he becomes that kind of target for Bryce Young, I think that just adds another wrinkle to this offense. Obviously, Alabama has Jaleel Billingsley, and we know he's going to be a receiving threat. But if you can have a guy like Latu kind of fill in for that Miller Forrestall role, he's obviously a good blocker as well. Nick Saban talked about that during his press conference. I think that could be really a really, you know, underrated aspect. And he's somebody that I really want to see on A-Day as well. Javon Baker sounds like he's having a good spring. He's a guy to watch. Kind of looks like he might be one of Bryce Young's favorite targets early on. Might be too early to tell, but he's a guy that, you know, saw a lot of reps, he didn't get the ball a lot last season, but he did see some reps. He was kind of like the 4th receiver after Jaylen Waddle got out. So he's a guy that can make any catch. He's one of those, you throw it up and he'll go get it kind of guys. Obviously, you got guys like Slade Bolden, I think, that's going to add kind of a veteran presence to that unit as well. But there's a few guys on the offense that I think can really break out. And then on the defensive side of the ball as well. I mean, you look at a guy like Jalen Moody. Can we count a breakout year for LeBryan Ray? I mean, like, we know his talent, but he's never been able to kind of stay on the field injury-wise to to kind of live it out. I think LeBron Ray could be a real staple of this defense if he's able to stay healthy. So there's a couple of guys on both sides of the ball that I think could really be in line for some breakout years. And depending on their success, Alabama could be really special.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something that we've come to expect from the Crimson Tide. I mean, you know, obviously they have figured out a way to get that done over the years when this has happened, and they've lost a lot of very talented players. So keeping an eye on who returns and how they do and opportunities that those players get is going to be a lot of fun, and it really starts Saturday when we get a full look at this Alabama team. He's Tony Tsoukalos. I'm Mick Gillespie. Give us a thumbs up. Subscribe as you hang out with us. We're talking Alabama and the 8A game coming up on Saturday. We're here at the Alabama Rival site, and we invite you to go to BamaInsider.com. Become a member. Get your subscription. Andrew Bones got you covered on recruiting, all the latest news in that area. Tony follows the teams, and I say teams with an S, plural, basketball included, baseball and football. Obviously, you know, football and Alabama, I mean, it's like apple pie and hot dogs and baseball. I mean, everybody loves it, and we keep an eye on that, and we're in the middle of a dynasty right now. Why wouldn't we, right? And then there's Kyle Henderson. You guys love Kyle. He's the managing editor. So whether you are looking for recruiting, what's going on with Alabama, you want Kyle's nuggets, all that available at
Looks like Mick's on mute right now. So we'll but like what Mick was saying, guys, it's definitely always a good time to check out Bama Insider. You know, the conversations we're having right now are the kind of conversations you can have on the message board. So definitely check us out over there as well. Mickey, you back with us? See you guys. Mick, can you hear me? Well, it's like we're having a little technical difficulty with Mick, but yeah, I mean, look, this A-Day is going to be a big game for a lot of people. So it's definitely something we're going to have wall-to-wall coverage for it. And you know, there's going to be definitely a lot of things to watch. We mentioned some of those, you know, mention in the comments too, like what are some of the things you guys are excited to see and what are you kind of wanting to watch moving forward as well. But you know, other than the stuff we've talked about too, I mean, you know, I think the secondary right now is something that, you know, Alabama needs to look at as well. They're replacing a piece in Patrick Surtain at cornerback, and you know, I think that's something that it's going to be really interesting to see how they fill that. I think, you know, one of the guys we've been seeing is Jalen Armour Davis, and he's somebody that I think Alabama is pretty high on as well. So I think we mentioned some of the younger players too in the secondary. I'm interested to see JaQuincy McKintry, Kool-Aid. I don't know if you guys are, but he's somebody that's another guy that I think would be really fun to watch for 8A as well. But
can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I lost power here. Did you see that? The power went out of my place, but we're back on here. Look, I'm excited about seeing Javon Baker. Like, I've been hearing so many great things about him over the years and kind of what he brings to the table. But what's exciting is that he is actually going to get an opportunity now. Like, he's been stuck behind this great receiver core, and he's put in his time. And I mean, you look at Alabama and what Nick Saban's been able to do just to keep guys like Baker around. You know, there's a lot of programs where he's looking ahead going, you know what, I'm not going to play right now because I got this guy ahead of me and this guy ahead of me. But the case is made when you go, okay, look, Mac Jones is going to be drafted higher than Tua and higher than Jalen. And, I mean, he was like the scout team guy, right? So if you put your time in, you're going to get an opportunity. I really feel like Baker could be that guy that breaks out this year for Alabama, and I think he could be the 8A game MVP. And if you remember, it was Menchie that kind of was that guy a couple years ago. No. Behind all those receivers, he got in there and made his case and really put made a name for himself as the MVP of this game.
We wrote a profile on Javon Baker during the season, and he's a guy that I think it was Jordan Battle that said he had the best hands on the team. I have to look back and see who it was, but yeah, he's, you know, there's been a lot of like buzz around him, you know, last fall, before the season, and then during the season. I think he's just the guy that's just waiting for an opportunity. But when you get called, when you, people say you have the best hands on the team, and at that point you're still playing on the same team as Devontae Smith, that's a big time statement. So Javon Baker is definitely a playmaker. He's a guy, you know, you can go back and look on the he had a few viral clips on Twitter where he made some one-handed catches. I talked to his trainer, who said that he's just as good as one-handed catches as he is at two-handed catches, perhaps even better. But he's got a lot of hops and he can really pull down the ball. So I think that's a pretty solid pick for 8A MVP. Me personally, for my 8A MVP, I'm going to go Will Anderson. I can't be high enough on that guy. I think he's going to be disruptive, and I think, you know, I know he's a defensive player, but I think he's going to have multiple, I guess you want to call them sacks. You really can't have too many sacks, right, in 8A, because you can't really hit the quarterback, but I think he's going to make, like, really difficult for the first-team offense.
Great chat here from Garrett. He says, Javon Baker needs a nickname. How about Javon Shaken Baker? Remember Shaken Baker? Did you ever have that as a kid? I love that stuff. My mom used to make that for us. So, hey, we'll find out. You know, to get a good nickname and stick with it, I mean, you got to be able to go in and make plays. I think that this guy's going to be one. But you know what? You're right. I mean, it would really probably be a better, safer bet to pick someone on defense, because this defense, it's, I really feel like this could be a special unit.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And like I said, the defensive front seven is so dominant that, I mean, that's, I guess I'm just kind of like going with the favorite. That being said though, I mean, like, you know, we're not even talking about, Bryce Young as a possibility. He scrambles around, makes some big plays, gets out of some pressure situations. I think he might earn the MVP. And look, he's still managed to put up numbers despite how good this defense has been. So maybe Bryce Young, you know, could be the 8A MVP as well. Or who knows? Maybe Paul Tyson. You mentioned we saw Mac Jones win an 8A MVP. I mean, maybe Paul Tyson comes out here and he, you know, kind of throws his name back in here, because he's been kind of overlooked with just because of Bryce Young's success. And obviously Paul Tyson has a lot of talent as well too. So maybe he comes in and surprises somebody with a big 8A as well.
Yeah. Look, you can make a name for yourself in this game. And that's what we saw with Menchie. I mean, when he was the fifth receiver at the time, and he had that huge 8A breakout game and stayed on the radar. And then when Ruggs and Judy went to the NFL, he was the next guy up, right? So it's not a wash, and it's not to be looked over. This 8A game is your opportunity when you're a player that's in the up-and-coming spot to really shine. And you're right. I mean, who would have thought that at the time when Mac Jones had his big 8A game, that he really would have turned into the guy that he did turn into, and arguably the greatest season as a quarterback in Alabama history. You know, he's behind Tua, he's behind Jalen Hurts. He's gonna end up being drafted higher than them, and look, who knows? Maybe eventually he's a better pro than them.
Yeah, and one thing you got to look at too, when you're trying to look at this 8A game, also look at the competition that each, you know, guy's going against too, right? So I mean, like when Mac Jones won, he was going up against a second team defense. And so like, that's one of the things I think that frustrates Nick Saban as well, is that when you see some of these guys like John Metchie, I think he had a lot of his catches against the second team defense as well. So you can't say that one person, when the thing you got to guard against, I guess, on Saturday too, is when you look, you can't say, oh, this guy's so much better than this guy. You got to look at who they're going up against, and that's part of it. But you're right, though. It is a chance for some of these second-team guys, especially since they're going against the second-team offense or second-team defense, a chance for them to kind of showcase their skills and the, you know, their potential and really play on a big stage. You know, I mean, Alabama's played on the scrimmages, and that's kind of the Nick Saban's time to see how they kind of his players progress without training wheels. You know, you don't have the coach right there to correct you. It's a lot different when they're spectators and there's TV cameras. So for a lot of these young players, I think it's going to be that big first time and really the bright light. So you also get to see how some of those guys, how they handle that kind of pressure.
Yeah, appreciate the super chat. But you got the score backwards, Hurricane. It's going to be probably 52 to to 24 Bama in that game. But we appreciate it, and thanks for hanging out with us. All of you guys that are hanging out, thumbs up and subscribe. Whether you're an Alabama fan, you're a Miami fan, or you're a college football fan, this is the place to hang out as we talk Alabama spring game. Tony Tsoukalos and Mick Gillespie here. Thumbs up and subscribe as you hang out. All right, Tony, we've kind of hit the things that we wanted to talk about 8A game-wise. I'm going to throw a curveball at you and just get you talking about the NFL draft. I know it's something that you're paying close attention to. There's been some trades, and there's a lot of momentum that's saying that, you know what, the 49ers really traded up to that third spot to get Mac Jones. None of us know for sure. They're definitely trading up to get a quarterback. Obviously, the big trade that was made by the Panthers to get Darnold from the Jets, so they got a quarterback now. You wonder if maybe they go in the college football draft here in the NFL draft and take another quarterback. But give us the latest on Alabama and the draft.
Yeah, I think Alabama is going to have a really successful draft. You look at Mac Jones. You're right. There's some people that are convinced that he's going to go number three to the San Francisco 49ers, which I think you mentioned earlier in the show is higher than Tua Tagovailoa went at number five the year before. So that would be quite the statement, for him. If Mac doesn't go number three, I think you could see him slip a little bit. From what I've heard from analysts, it's some teams are higher on Mac than others. And so, does he slip to the Patriots at 15, or maybe does he slip to a team like the Patriots or Washington, where maybe they have to trade up at 11 instead of picking at 15 or 19. But I would assume he goes somewhere in that top, 15 picks. I really just don't see him sliding past 15 to the Patriots. Whether they have to trade up or whether, some team trades up in front of them to grab him. I think that's about where Mac Jones is going to go. Probably, possibly in front of him, depending on whether he goes at three. You've got Patrick Surtain, who I think is probably competing with J.C. Horn as the top cornerback picks. Both those guys could be, in the top 10, top 12 kind of picks. I think you're looking at 10 around there for Patrick Surtain. And then you've got both of Alabama's receivers and Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle. They're probably also going to be top 15 guys. So you could have four Alabama players in the top 15, which would be outstanding. And then, does Najee Harris find his way in the first round? Does Alabama get five? Because that would be quite the statement as well. There's a lot of ways it could go. Christian Barmore could sneak into that first round as well. That's another possibility for five. Depending on how teams feel about Landon Dickerson, he's a guy that could maybe slip into the first round. So you really got, what is that, like six, six players or seven players that could go in the first round. They won't all go in the first round, but Alabama's definitely got some first round possibilities.
Yeah. There's been questions about Devontae Smith's weight, right? He's 170 pounds. He was listed as 175 in the program. Who knows? But he weighed in at 170. And so that's kind of been a knock on him. But my favorite, and I'm not saying he's your favorite, but my favorite draft expert, Mel Kiper, says that he thinks that he's the top receiver in this draft. And it's a very, very heavy receiver draft. I mean, there's a ton of really good wideouts, including Jalen Waddle, throw him in there. Chase from
LSU. As well. I think when you're looking at just like receiver skills, Devontae Smith is the best skilled receiver. I mean, does he have maybe Jamar Chase's size, or does he have Jalen Waddle's speed? No, but he has more production. And I think he's a clean route runner, and I think he's just got the intangibles to be great. I mean, we saw it the last 2 years where he's just unstoppable on the field. You can put two people on him, he'll easily get past them. And he just seems like he's always open. Look, Marvin Harrison wasn't really fast. Jerry Rice wasn't really fast. Guys like that, you don't necessarily need to be a burner. And also on the other hand, Devontae Smith is not slow either. So he's got skills. If he slips because of his size, I think the team that's going to pick him up is going to get a steal. I don't see him slipping too much. He might not be the first receiver taken. It kind of looks like Jamar Chase is going to be that guy. But even if he's the third receiver taken behind Jalen Waddle, I think, you know, he's going to have a bright future. And I think if he slips too far down, he's going to be probably the steal of the draft.
Wouldn't it be funny if Chase ended up with Miami and Devontae ended up with the Bengals somehow?
Yeah, they just kind of switched and we'll see. I think it'd be kind of fun if the other way around and they ended up playing each other, you'd get a rematch of that 2019 game, you know, basically with Burrow and Chase and Tua and Devontae. That'd be kind of a fun scenario as well.
Yeah, yeah. Hard not to pull for the Dolphins when you see the Alabama connection, and feel like this draft could be another one where Miami goes heavy Alabama because they're in need of positions that Alabama has guys in those spots, including receiver and running back, skill guys that can make a difference. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. Tony, I appreciate you as always. What are you working on that people can check out at BamaInsider.com?
Yeah, we'll have coverage of this whole week, you know, with our media availabilities through practice. And obviously, we're going to have you prepped up for A-Day as well. And there's a lot of basketball coverage. I know we spent the whole time talking about football. And, you know, obviously, with A-Day week, we have to. But there's a lot of basketball coverage on the side as well, if that's what you're into. Obviously, there's been a lot of happenings going on with Alabama basketball as well. So check that out as well on top of the football coverage.
Yeah, look, we got a couple extra minutes. I mean, you brought it up. Every time I turn around, this basketball program's bringing in another blue chipper. It almost feels like football.
Definitely. I mean, look, they had the number three recruiting class. I don't remember what they slipped down to after they lost Langston Wilson today, but even that move's kind of like to make space. You know, Alabama's roster's still a little crowded right now, so they're going to need some guys to leave. But look, they brought in Namari Burnett, Noah Gurley, two transfers that, you know, could be impact players. Obviously, they got Charles Bediako, another highly recruited guy. They're bringing in J.D. Davison, the best recruit they've got since Colin Sexton. So it's going to be an exciting year for Alabama basketball. Dare I say they might actually even end up with more talent, depending on how you look at it, on this year's roster than they had last year, which is crazy to say because last year's roster was extremely talented. But this is going to be another exciting year for Alabama basketball moving forward.
Yeah, and that kind of brings me up to something that I didn't bring up on the show, but quickly we should probably talk about. The transfer portal in college basketball has changed things. I mean, look, at you know, watching these guys move from team to team, Alabama's become one of those destination places where people want to transfer. They want to play for Nate Oates, right? I read that it's probably going to be in the next week that the NCAA approves a one-time transfer finally for college football. Do you know where Alabama stands on that? Will they lose guys? And then the player that I've kept a pretty close eye on, Henry To'oto'o, would that mean he comes to Alabama from Tennessee?
Yeah, I think that would, from what I'm hearing, that Alabama would be the favorite to land Henry To'oto'o. And that could be, you know, we talked about that front seven. That's just another guy in there that could compete for that spot. Obviously he'd be competing with Jalen Moody, who's a good linebacker in his own right. But, Alabama's not going to say no to that kind of talent. And they would happily bring him on if he wants to come. So, it would obviously also affect the basketball team. Namari Burnett, coming from Texas Tech, I think, you know, he's not a grad transfer. So obviously that would allow him to not even have to worry about a waiver. He'd be able to play right away. So we'll see what happens. I think that's expected to pass. So I think you're going to start seeing, you know, some transfers maybe happen after that does happen.
Awesome. Well, Tony, I'm not going to keep you on anymore. I've been throwing all these extra questions at you, but our audience is here. They were wondering, inquiring minds wanted to know. I wanted to know. Hey, great job. And come back and hang out with us on Friday when we do the tailgate show from Innisfree. That'll be from 6 to 8 Central Time on Friday as we get you ready for Alabama's 8A game. You can listen to it on Jocks 2 Radio 100.5 Birmingham, Tuscaloosa on Saturday. But we've got a bunch of other stuff going on as far as Alabama coverage is concerned, BamaInsider.com. You can always read Tony's work, Andrew Bone, and Kyle Henderson. Kyle will be on tomorrow. Andrew Bone's got some recruiting nuggets. We got Nick Saban's press conferences as he talks to all of us about the progress of this 2021 Crimson Tide football team. All of that right here on the Bama Insider YouTube channel. Anytime a player is doing something special, Kyle always seems to drop a video on that as well. Hey, guys, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Again, we appreciate it. Sorry for my technical difficulties, but I've got power back on. I knew I paid the bill. I just wasn't sure if I paid it on time. For Tony, I'm Mick. Thanks for watching, guys. Roll Tide.